Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. As the country gears up to go into phase 2 and phase 3 of the MCO, some of us are already entering phase 4 even. We are trying to understand a little bit better about how the landscape is changing when it comes to working individuals. But today, we want to focus more on how employers can actually give greater support for working parents. People like me, to be frank. Joining us is Ben Thompson, the CEO and founder of Employment Hero. He joins us from Sydney, Australia. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, Ibrahim.
So this is a big topic. Of course, a lot of Malaysians are dual income earners. Many of them are, you know, slowly coming back to reality or coming back to terms on the fact that they might have to return back to the office. And a lot of us, you know, might not have the kind of luxuries that I do, for instance, that, you know, we are able to work from home, able to look at the kids. Many of us are actually trying to mess with the kind of arrangements that we have right now in order for us to accommodate for the full return to offices in the near term. Can you do a quick overview into how the landscape is slowly changing, whether or not the employers are giving greater support or basically going back to the status quo of before, which is to let people come to work no matter what?
Yeah, look, I think that's definitely changing. COVID has taught us a lot about how we can work and confirmed that we can work in a remote first environment. And really, when you stop and think about the advantages that offers, it's for every employer, it's very important to consider that adopting and embracing remote work is a huge advantage for your business, not just for working parents, but for the business itself. Just importantly to consider, if you go back to the way it was, you're only recruiting from a very small talent pool that lives within a few kilometers of your office. If you continue to employ people remotely, your talent pool can literally be the entire planet. So you have to make a decision. Are you going to find the best possible talent within a few kilometers of your office, or can you continue to and improve the way that you adopt remote working to find better people and engage them in new ways through remote working, particularly working parents?
There is a myth going on right now, and it's, I don't know whether this is a real thing or it's just a very bland stereotype that, you know, people think about each other. Parents are not productive, they have too many demands, they got to sort out their children. You either have a career or a parent. These kind of conversations keep on happening. Do you feel that there's some truth in this, or there's an ability for us to discern or debunk this myth altogether?
Look, I've been in business for 20 years and I've employed hundreds or thousands of people over that time. And I can say categorically that the most productive people are working parents who have to be super efficient and cram as much productive time into their workday as they possibly can. They don't have the luxury of taking time to chat and go out for lunch and everything. They've got too many other things they need to get done. So I completely disagree with that myth. I think that working parents are, in my experience, the most productive people that you can employ.
We've been at this for over 1.5 years, a lot of employers are already trusting their employees to do their job remotely. That whole culture that we keep on reading, you know, when we were in university, when we go to business school, when we, you know, employ people, when we are hired, we tend to talk about outcome and output rather than activity. And it seems like after 18 months, there's some trust amongst workers and employers to get the job done, even though you're not seeing each other remotely. Generally speaking, of course. Do you feel that this whole fostering of culture of trust is going to be further enhanced post-pandemic? Or do you think that it was fine before, but essentially I still need you to be in front of me so that I can see that you're doing your job?
Yeah, I think it will fall into two camps. And I think the sort of command and control mentality, the observer manager, is likely to be the minority. The people who are going to do the best are the ones who adapt to remote working and the new management styles that it requires. You know, having very clear objectives and key results, giving people autonomy, giving people trust, being more of a coach than a director. That's how you get the best set of people in today's environment. Giving them goals that they find challenging, but that they're motivated to go out and achieve, is the best way to get humans working in the best possible ways. So yes, there will still be two different types of business or managers, but the ones that do best are the ones that will, that really embrace the flexibility and autonomy that we now have available to us.
All right, Ben, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the founder of Employment Hero. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Ben Thompson joining us from Australia. Ben, earlier on, we've covered a few items. Of course, we covered the general landscape on the culture of fostering trust. We talked about the upside of employers if they tap into employees who are remote, who are virtual, who are global. You're tapping into a far wider audience or capture audience in terms of potential employment pool. We've also talked about giving employees tangible, challenging, meaningful goals so that they can find meaning in their work. These are some of the items that we've spoke about earlier. Maybe you can help us list down some tangible ways organizations can do to support working parents, particularly at a time when most of us are slowly returning back to the office.
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I think the first thing that they can do is provide flexibility. Give people the ability to work from where they need to be to do their job, but also to balance their life and their other responsibilities. That might mean not just the ability to work from home, but the ability to work flexible hours, having the time to be with your children for school drop-offs and pickups, but maybe working into the evening to complete the jobs that need to be done. Maybe even allowing parents to bring their children to the office if there is an insistence on getting people back to the office. Looking at creative ways that an organization can help parents and groups of parents to manage work and parenting from the office is another way. And then I think thirdly is parental leave, giving those parents who don't have the flexibility but need that dedicated time, making sure that they have the ability to spend more time dealing with being a parent and then coming back to work in a full-time capacity.
Some of those that watch this show, they are either HR managers or business owners, and they are thinking, this is based on my real conversation with some of them, actually, some of the audiences of this show, they really want to talk about or think about moving ahead without having to go back to the office. They might have a skeleton crew at the office for basic needs, IT folks maybe, an office admin maybe, but 90% of their staff, they're perfectly fine to leave them at home so that they can achieve not just safe and security in the comforts of your home, but they trust their employees to execute the job moving forward. I just want to understand a little bit better about some of the support that employers can give, particularly when they have that in mind, leaving the employees at home. Do you feel that some of the support or assistance that they can give to the employees need to change? Particularly, post-COVID, or it's basically more of the same, the 18 months that we've already had, but more of that?
I think there'll be some differences. I think there's the basics that need to be provided, whether we're in COVID or beyond COVID, but that is the technology that facilitates remote employment, having the right systems, the ability to work asynchronously, meaning that you don't need to have immediate two-way conversation, you have some more flexibility around responding to things at different times. Having good internet is a very basic requirement. Beyond that, I think encouraging people to know that they are trusted, giving people those clear outcomes that they need to be delivering, and asking, you know, what are the roadblocks that are stopping you from achieving those things, and how can I help you overcome them? So being that coach and mentor to people, and then checking in frequently. I think in the office, there are those inconsequential sort of meetings that happen. But when you are remote, you need to be much more deliberate in checking in with people. And so in our case and through our platform, we try and make sure that people are checking in with their reports at least once a week for a one-on-one meeting, which is focused on not just the catching up on how things are performing, but how that individual is feeling and how you can help them achieve their goals, both work and personal, in better ways.
You were talking earlier about the role of the employers need to be a little bit more supportive, a little bit more of a coaching. Can this be done remotely as effective as in person?
Yeah, I think it can be, and I think it has to be. It's not natural if you've grown up in an environment where, you know, you've got the corner office and you're used to bringing your team together and collaborating around a single whiteboard. There are changes that need to be made. You need to adapt. But if you can't adapt, you're limiting yourself to a much more narrow talent pool. You're limiting yourself to a much more narrow way of working. You're going to lose people. We know, we've just done a survey of 1,500 employees and asked whether they expect to maintain remote work. 94% of people agree that they would like to continue working remotely at least some of the time, but 38% of people want to continue working remotely on a permanent basis, which is a huge number. And frankly, I haven't seen 94% of people agree on almost anything. So it's incredible just how deeply rooted this thing of remote working and flexibility has become over the last couple of years. If you don't adapt to that and enable that, I'm sorry, but probably one in four employees are looking to move to a new role that will accommodate their needs. There's a lot of people who have got back hours in their days which they can use for productive things and exercise and spending time and learning. You're asking them to give up something very significant if you don't accommodate that. So yeah, you really have to make the move.
Not wanting to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but I feel that even with our employer right now, we are practically trying to achieve that flexibility of having working from home versus working from the studio. And you know, when the pandemic started, it was unthinkable to carry out a TV show or a news channel where a lot of us are going to work from home. But you know, over the past few months, we've managed to work it out. That flexibility is there. That 94% number is actually quite believable because we did our own internal survey, and most of us, I'm not too sure the number, but it was substantial, something close to 94%, kind of agreed that we, you know, some form of flexibility needs to be achieved. Like I said, initially we are all obsessed about activity rather than outcome or output, and we put that in our KPI, and if we do, you know, 100 things, even though most of them are not impactful, we are very happy because we did 100 things. These days, if you just do 2 or 3 things, as long as it's meaningful, it is very much more valuable to us, to the organization, to our compatriots, to our colleagues, than if you were doing 100 things, but you know, brings little meaning. And I think you know, infrastructure aside, because I mean, you know, having good internet is a good wish to have. However, sometimes, you know, it is out of our hands. You know, I mean, other than banging the telecom doors and demanding, you know, better internet. But other than the infrastructure side, do you feel that there is an impetus for us to create a healthy culture, a culture that celebrates differences, celebrates a culture that, you know, people have kids? I mean, I, you know, just before doing this interview, I was yelling at my kids, I was just begging them, can you stay silent for just 20 minutes? Daddy has to do this show.
So was I. Not your kids, but I was shouting my kids too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so begging them for 20 minutes of silence is actually kind of quite a bargain, because, you know, okay, you know, I'll stay silent for 20 minutes, then I can be noisy for the next 3 hours, you know, that kind of relationship. So it's a lot more, you know, harder in terms of building relationship with your kids, with your spouse, with your partner, with your employers, with your employees, you know. So I don't know whether this is a, you know, can we celebrate these kind of opportunities for us to harness greater positive culture in the workplace?
Definitely. And there's a couple of points I'd make on that. Firstly, it's not just working parents, but I completely agree that working parents have an opportunity with this flexible working arrangement. But so do carers, people who are caring for their elderly parents or people living with disabilities who can't travel to a workplace. And most importantly, and it sort of comes back to your point around the internet and the telcos, but if there is a world with good broadband internet, then where you live shouldn't be a barrier to where you work. And Malaysia is a good example of a country where there's, you know, centralized pockets of commerce, but huge regional areas that money doesn't get spent there because people aren't earning high wages there. They're earning their wages in the city. If you move to a remote first environment and you had the internet to do it, you'll find that the money gets spent all over the country. And rather than having a few pockets of highly developed areas, you have more money for everybody. And I think remote work can become probably the world's biggest source of lifting people into a higher economic well-being state, because you don't need to move to go and get a good job anymore. Now, it does require good internet, but the thing that I think many people are missing here is that companies like SpaceX already have 1,500 broadband satellites in the sky today. And within 3 years, they'll have, or 5 years, I think, they'll have 30,000 broadband satellites going around the planet. Every pocket of the planet will have access to broadband internet. So, and that's only 5 years away. So employers need to be thinking now, remote working gives me access to a broader talent pool. It's more inclusive. It makes people happier. It creates, it's better for everybody, including myself, because I have access to greater talent. But as a country, even the economics, the macroeconomics of having people being able to live and spend anywhere are phenomenal. So I think people haven't even cottoned on to what's about to happen. And this is just the very start, but it's incredibly exciting. And I think we should all embrace it.
We have to go for one short break before we conclude our conversation with Ben. We're talking about how parents can actually give greater support. Sorry, employers can give greater support to working parents. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Ben Thompson, the founder and also the CEO of Employment Hero. I want to conclude our conversation with this. Ben, there are some structural items that you spoke about earlier, which is, of course, internet infrastructure. There's also health benefits that needs to be rethought of or rethink. Initially, we just had, you know, single individual employment benefits. You know, there's a lot of talk about trying to extend this not just to the immediate family members, but, you know, one level up to parents, i.e. the grandparents of your children, maybe sideways, including, you know, extended family members. Do you feel that this is needed? Do you feel that this is an opportunity for employers to get better goodwill, I suppose, from the employees? Or is the cost too cost prohibitive to a point where it just doesn't make sense to get it done?
Yeah, look, I think there are new ways to provide those types of benefits to a broader community. I think blowing my own trumpet, I think when you look at what's possible with an employment management platform like Employment Hero, for example, we have 300,000 employees on the same platform being paid from the same database, which means we can focus we can focus the point that people spend their money, and we can create incredible buying power for an organization and everybody on the platform. I think when we start to, you know, flex our purchasing power and our distribution and delivery capabilities through technology, we can provide greater benefits to direct employees, but also the broader family. And we have to weigh up whether every employer can afford to do it. But if they attract better talent and they get better results, then, you know, everybody wins. So we just have to work together to find that better outcome for everybody.
Let's talk a little bit more about Employment Hero. You guys help employers find better employment. You help employees try to find better employment. And you're in a few countries, including that of Malaysia. How does the platform work, and how do you try to get the best match between employers and employees?
Yeah, we go a lot further than that. So Employment Hero was created. I was an employment lawyer, and I discovered, to my surprise, that most employers don't feel confident about being employers, particularly small businesses. And the reality is that 99% of all businesses are small businesses, and 70% of all jobs on the planet are provided by small businesses, and nearly 50%, 48.5% of total global GDP is comprised of the wages that small businesses pay to their staff. So getting employment right and helping small businesses feel proud and confident of every role that they can create is incredibly important to individuals, but literally the whole planet. And 95% of what businesses have to do to employ people is common. They have to find people, onboard people, manage people, pay people, and reward people. So we've created an employment management platform that helps with all of those pieces of the employment puzzle. It's a single platform that does the entire employment lifecycle from hiring to retiring. And it's built specifically for businesses very small, all the way through to about 500 employees. And we've recently, through COVID, we've tacked on one other thing, which is the ability to hire people anywhere on the planet. It's called Global Teams. And it means that businesses can now find and engage people remotely, whether it's locally or internationally. They can do it all through one platform.
Do you feel that on the fundraising side of things, do you feel that now is a good time to fundraise, to get a little bit more ammunition into the business? Or do you feel that the growth that you guys are going through right now is actually quite okay?
We're growing very quickly. We grew 113% year on year last year, and that was the same the year before. We've grown at 100% year on year since we started 7 years ago. So growth is great. We just raised again recently, so we currently have a good war chest of money, but it is a great time to be raising capital. The I think $9 trillion of government stimulus that's been injected into the global economy during the COVID pandemic has led to, you know, a surplus of investment funds. And, you know, I don't think there has been a better time to be raising capital than today.
Final question to you is this. I can't speak for businesses that you guys, markets that you guys are operating in, but in Malaysia, the Small and Medium Enterprise Association estimates about 400,000 of SMEs have shuttered, have closed their business during the pandemic, out of 1.2 million businesses, basically one in three. And I'm not too sure whether or not these businesses that have closed will reincarnate themselves and come in another way or shape or form. But it's worth noting that the 800,000 businesses that are estimated to continue to still go on post-pandemic, they might face a different world altogether. So generally in the landscape of doing things, it's not going to be the same. That's the moral of the story here. How do you reach out to these employers and these business owners and tell them that, you know, perhaps it's for the better that, you know, you need to be nimble, you need to adapt, you need to change. What would be some of the messages that you want to reach out to those that have succeeded, I suppose, however terrible the term is, to come out of this pandemic?
Yeah. Well, firstly, my heart goes out to any of those businesses that have shut down and won't come back, because I honestly believe that small business owners are the salt of the earth. They're the people that make the economy grow, and they're the people that take the greatest risks to create jobs. So, spare a moment for those people. The ones who have come back, the thing I would say is that, you know, life is creative destruction. Things get created and destroyed, and the things that regrow in the places where, you know, the large trees used to be, they've got the opportunity. Right now, there's probably, if we just had a large section of the SMB community removed because of this pandemic, then there's more light to shine on everybody. There's more technology to help them do things better and faster and more efficiently. And there's people willing, there's more talent willing to work in new and incredibly exciting ways. You have to grab those different pieces and bring them together to create something new and valuable. And there's plenty of capital, as I just said, there's plenty of capital around if you're raising capital. And, in many ways, it's the best time to be starting a business.
Fantastic. That was Ben Thompson, the CEO and founder of Employment Hero. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for this conversation there. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.